So the beast, it has power in all kinds of areas. Political power right now is where the beast has more power than religious, just about, in the United States. Now, in the Middle East, the religion has the greatest power of the beast. In the United States, politics is assuming more and more power. Big Brother is taking on the mark of the beast a lot more. More and more, if you resist anything that filters down from the government, you get extremely criticized by people. If you just don't go along and play ball, and if you go along with your judgment that comes from within. And so this is the mark of the beast that needs to be escaped. We're approaching a time similar to the age of Christ, where Caesar had tremendous power. And if whatever you said, whatever Caesar said, had to be. And it's interesting, when the Christian church was young, the emperor made everybody acknowledge that Caesar was God once a year. And that's something that the Christians could not do. So if you acknowledge that Caesar was God, then you could go practice your religion, any religion you wanted, and have pretty much freedom. Just had to acknowledge Caesar was God. And a lot of early Christians wouldn't do that, so they fed him to the lions and burned him at the stake or persecuted him and tried to extinguish him. That was the power of the beast at that time. The beast has power just because that's the way things are evolving. God just doesn't step in and say, well, I don't like this, so I'm going to snap my fingers and make this and this happen. That's not the way things work. So it has to work through the free will of us who are in the image of God. And because we're in the image of God, we have power to create a beast that seems to have the power of God. You know, because we're in the image of God, we created the beast which appears to be God. So if you're in a religion, for instance, and your religious leader says, God wants you to do this, well, God must want me to do it. He said it, and he's the leader. He speaks for God. Okay, you have to confirm that within. If you don't confirm it within, you're following the beast. Yeah.
Is there a history or an account of where or why God came from?
Well, God has always been, of course. God came from cause and effect. Cause and effect has always been here. I mean, there's never been a time there hasn't been cause and effect. And cause and effect has created the mind of God in the whole universe. Every point in the universe is a monad. And as those points begin to vibrate, it lays the foundation for the evolution of an intelligent being. And so it's one of the things that says in the scriptures, great is the mystery of godliness. And it is great when you think this question. It's a miracle that anything exists at all. That's the greatest miracle. It's amazing that there's even, in the whole universe, if there were just one rock, that would be really amazing. But the fact that we have a whole universe out there is super amazing. The fact that there's anything at all. The fact that there is anything just happens because cause and effect is real, and the interplay of cause and effect has produced all the intelligence in the universe. Yeah.
If I could, I'd like to read two statements from the Immortal Book, too.
Okay, let me get the mic here.
Please. Where is it?
The Immortal Book 2, page 191, it states, the wavelength created infinite space, which is the mind of God. And then a little further down, it states, because the prime cause is infinite, the reflection is infinite, and infinite points of decision filled and created all space. So I'm wondering about your use of the word infinite there, if it's more figurative than literal. Because in the past you've stated that all things, all quantities are known to God. that he his universe is actually numbered.
Right, the universe is numbered from our perspective, it would be infinite. But from the mind of God, it's numbered. It's just like it says, the number of worlds is not known unto you, but it's known unto me. You know, so the mind of God, the mind of God occupies everything. So if it can occupy everything in the mind of God, it's really not infinite. There is a number. And I believe that number is the number of pi.
Right.
Yeah. And the number of pi is a big number. They've figured the number of pi to, hundreds of numbers long. I published in one of my early posts, I published like about 3 pages of the numbers of pi.
Wow.
And there was a whole bunch more that I could have thrown in there. But it's amazing how far out the computers have extended pi, and they still haven't found the exact pi. When they found the exact pi, they will have a formula for the perfect circle. And the formula for the perfect circle is, I believe, the goal of existence. When the perfect circle is created, then the universe will be complete, and God will make another great decision and do something different. You know.
Wow.
Great, and a great new challenge. Yeah, Larry.
In the apocalypse, the beast that you were talking about, the beast rises out of the sea, out of the water.
Yeah.
And we know that water symbolizes emotion. So could you comment on, or maybe give an example of how that works, or in other words, from the emotional part of humans, the beast arises.
Well, it says the beast rises up out of the sea. And then in another place in the book of Revelation, it defines the sea as the people, the multitudes, the nations of the earth. So the sea represents all the people of the earth. Now, esoterically, water also represents the emotions, and they're both true. And you'll find this to be true with Scripture and the words of the great masters, that they often have more than one meaning. The ancient Jews believed that all the Scriptures had three meanings, a body, soul, and spirit. That all the interpretations were correct, they were just all on different levels. So the body of that meaning is that the beast rises up from the people of the earth. The soul of it is the beast rises up from the emotional energy of the people of the earth. And the emotional energy sustains the beast because it works through the power of emotions. Now, the beast produces a mark in the right hand and the forehead. The right hand symbolizes labor, and the forehead symbolizes thought. So the beast also works to control your thought. It works through the emotional level to control your thought. And that's the spirit of the interpretation, we could call the thought. So the beast operates through the physical, the emotional, and the mind, but its greatest power is in the emotions. And this is where guilt is settled. It's in the emotions. But it can be unraveled by the mind. When the mind sees the cause of guilt, that is caused by some outward authority assuming the place of God and telling you what to do, telling you what is right and wrong, and you're violating that which that outward authority told you is right and wrong, and it produces guilt. When you see that, then the guilt just disappears. I used to feel guilt when I was at the church. And then when I realized this principle, all my guilt just disappeared. I haven't had guilt since about anything. It's really great. I never feel guilty. But when I was in the church, I was feeling guilty all the time. I remember I was at this priesthood meeting. A guy got up and he says, if I were to have, I was just a young guy at the time, If I were to have asked of everyone in this room who's read a Playboy magazine in the past month to raise their hand, how many hands would go up? And I thought, oh, man, I'd have to raise my hand. I thought, boy, would that be embarrassing or what? He didn't actually ask. He just said, if I were to ask. You know, and I thought, please don't ask. Yeah, and I always felt real guilty about looking at a Playboy magazine, you know.